I want to talk this morning about the goodness of God. The goodness of God. A lot of time people make this statement, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. I wonder, do we really realize what we're saying? I hope that we do. But you know, when you hear sayings like that, sometimes they are like a jingle. You remember the jingle, but you may not really remember what is really the importance of the jingle. Do we really realize what it is when we're saying God is good all the time? And all the time, God is good. I believe David realized that. Because David experienced some of the things that we as God's people experience today, and as people in general. Things don't always go good in our lives. And sometimes, if we're not careful, it's sort of hard to say God is good when things are not really good in our lives. So that's why I'm asking, do we really realize what we're saying when we say God is good all the time, and all the time God is good? I'm not asking you to stop saying that if you say that, but to really realize what is being said when we make a statement like that. David had some experiences that I've said in his life, and particularly enemies were surrounding him. From time to time, he was besieged by enemies. And in this Psalms chapter 27, I'm going to preach more from Psalms 31, but this is where I'm going to start from. In this chapter, David talked about God delivering him from his enemies, not giving him over to his enemies. His enemies had risen up against him. And so he was being perplexed by his enemies. But yet, in spite of being perplexed by his enemies, he still could say, basically, God is good. And so, again, I read the Psalms, a portion of what was read. Verse 13 of Psalms 27, David said this, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What David was saying is, because of all of the trouble my enemies are giving me, I would have just given up. I would have lost heart. I would have basically just thrown in the towel. But in spite of what was going on toward me from my enemies, I still believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So in spite of the trying times that David experienced in his life, he wanted his brethren, and of course this is a Psalms that the Israelites would be singing, he wanted them to know that his faith was such that he believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. So he exhorted his brethren to be of good courage. Verse 14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Today we live in a time when many things will try us and will vex us. We need to be encouraged to wait on the Lord. But again, when we look at this statement that David made, the key thing that prompted David's statement was his faith. You notice what he said? Again, he says, I had fainted unless I had believed. David is calling attention to his faith. I would have given up. I would have lost heart unless I had faith that I was going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Without true faith, brothers and sisters, this morning, we'll never be able to see the goodness of the Lord in our lives when we are in trouble, when things perplex us, when we are unemployed, when we are on our beds of affliction, when we are mourning the death of a loved one, when someone is perplexing us and giving us grief in our lives, unless we have true faith, we're going to have a problem thinking that God is good. So God is good, church. And if we want to say that, say it with me. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. I want to encourage us to know what we're saying when we say things like that. Because God certainly is good. So let's turn our attention to Psalms 31. And here's where the sweet singer of Israel expressed so much about the goodness of God. And we need to realize this morning in our lives. In Psalms 31 and verse number 19, look at what he says. He says, oh, how great is thy goodness. Let's just focus on that portion of the verse for right now. David says that God's goodness is great. It's not a little goodness, but it is great goodness. It is an ample supply of goodness. All the goodness that we ever need in our lives, God has that to supply to us. Again, he says, oh, how great is thy goodness. Over and over in the Psalms and even in other books of the Bible, the goodness of God is spoken about. In Psalms 34, verse number 8, the goodness of God is spoken about. He says, oh, taste. You ever thought about God's goodness like that? Tasting God's goodness? He says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is what? Good. You think food is good? Food, of course, comes from God, but when we go all the way back to God, God is certainly good. We this morning need to taste and see that God is good. He woke us up this morning, didn't he? He's good. He started us on our way. Gave us a reasonable portion of our health and strength. We're able to put one foot ahead of the other. We are in a reasonable portion of our right mind. We may not act like it all the time, but we are in a reasonable portion of our mind. Psalmist says, taste and see that God is good. I'm talking about this God that David talked about, his goodness as being great. He says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. That's the faith again. The man who has faith in God will be blessed. I want to encourage us to keep our faith in God. Again, when the world seems to be upside down, let's keep our faith in God, because we serve a good God, a God who is full of goodness. He has an ample supply of goodness. Psalm 73. Asaph said this, truly, truly or surely, he says, God is good to Israel. God is good to us, Judge. He is good to Israel, even to such as of a clean heart. God is good. Psalms 100 verse 5, 135 verse 3 talks about the goodness of God. Lamentations 3 and verse 25 says that he's good. In Lamentations 3 and 25, he says, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name. That's why I don't get tired of singing praises to the Lord, because he is a good Lord. Sing all day long. I'm singing to a good Lord. God is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. Oh, yes, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It's little wonder then this morning that James would say this by inspiration. Every good, verse James 1 and verse 17, every good and perfect gift comes from where, church? Above. Who's above? God. This good God. This good God who is full of goodness, who has this ample supply of goodness, every good and perfect gift cometh from above, the Bible says, and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We serve a good God. So David says in this verse, God is great. His goodness is great. But then he also says something else in this verse. Verse 19 of Psalm 31. He says, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. God's goodness, the psalmist says, is laid up for them that fear him. Do you fear God? I hope we fear God this morning. I hope we reverence God. I hope we hold him in the highest esteem, because he is greatly to be reverenced. His goodness is laid up for those who fear him. You know, I get a picture. You know what the picture I get there? Is that God's goodness is just laid up over here on the shelf for me. When I fear him, when I reverence him, when I have faith in him, when I trust him, when I obey him. His goodness is just laid up there for me. And I can just walk over to the shelf and just dine off of his goodness. We sit around the table and we say, oh, this is a great, beautiful table prepared. Great food. I'm just going to dine sufficiently. I want to encourage us this morning to dine sufficiently off of the goodness of God, because he has it laid up for us. This is what the psalm says. He says, his goodness is laid up for them that fear thee. Look at what he says in verse number 20, and let's see what he has on the shelf of goodness. In verse number 20, he says, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. You know what's on that shelf of goodness? Protection. God has protection laid up for us. Now, it's not always physical protection. Yes, we do get sick. Yes, we do die. Yes, we do get unemployed. Yes, folks do talk about us. It's not always the physical protection. As a matter of fact, that's not really what counts. but it's spiritual protection that God has laid up for us because he's such a good God. He gives us refuge. Psalms 46 and verse 1, the Bible says, God is our refuge. He's a very present help in trouble. He's a good God. He keeps our souls secure. And that's what Paul was talking about when he talked about something that he had committed unto him. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12, Paul says this, for this cause, or for which cause, he says, I also suffer these things, for I know whom I have believed. Same word David used in Psalms 27. David said, I had fainted except I had believed. Paul used the same word, the same term. He says, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul had committed his soul to the Lord. And he was persuaded, he says, his faith persuaded him to believe that God was able to keep that, keep his soul, and God will keep our souls when we commit our soul to him through faith in obedience to his word. So there's on the shelf that God has all of this, his goodness laid up for us. He has protection there. So again, we need to fear him. We need to trust him. We need to reverence him. We need to obey him, and he will protect our souls. Man may take our lives, but they can't take our souls. That's what Jesus meant when he says in Matthew 10 and verse 28, fear not him that can kill the body and not the soul. Rather, fear him that can kill both soul and body. God will preserve our souls. So the psalmist says, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. He keeps our souls secure. He even protects us in times of temptation. That's what the scripture says. He protects us by giving us a way of escape. Isn't that what Paul said by inspiration in 1 Corinthians chapter 1? Chapter 10, rather, and verse 13, verse number 13, he said this. He said, there has no temptation taken you than that which is common to man. But then he says this, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but with the temptation provides you a way of escape. That's protection. He is protecting us from the evil one. Now, are we going to benefit from his protection? The only way we'll benefit from his protection is through our faith to take the way of escape. But so oftentimes, we don't take the way of escape. He wants to protect us from temptation. Thank God. This good God that I'm talking about this morning, he has on his shelf protection. That's what the psalmist says. He's going to hide them, he says, in the secret of thy presence. But then look at something else that he says as we go back to the shelf again. In verse 21. He says this, blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. Kindness is so akin to mercy. So God has on his shelf for us this morning. He has kindness, he has mercy there for us. And if it were not for his mercy, you and I this morning couldn't sing praises to him as his children because it took his mercy, his kindness, his love, and his grace to make us his children. Listen to what Paul said to Titus in Titus chapter 3, verse number 4, beginning. He said this, but after the kindness or mercy, after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. God has kindness on that chef. He has mercy on that chef. And you know why he's there? Because he's good. I'm talking about the goodness of God. He's a good God. Great is his goodness. We started off talking about great is his goodness. That's what David says. Because he loves us so, he's merciful to us. And so he provides us then with that, that we can feast on that, that we can taste on that, that we can dine on that through our faith and obedience to his word. Because he wants us to have eternal life. Because he's merciful, he's also long-suffering toward us. And we certainly need long-suffering, which is patience. We need his long-suffering. Because if he were not a long-suffering God, as Brother Lewis Fletcher used to always say in his lifetime, when we messed up, he would zap us on the spot. But because he's a merciful and a long-suffering, a patient God, he gives us another opportunity. But we don't know when those opportunities are going to run out. That's why we need to try to do the best we can all the time. Because one day, as I've said so many times, we keep walking out on the limb. One day the limb is going to break. And it'll be too late. But he's a long-suffering God. Peter said that by inspiration. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, he says, God is not slack concerning his promises as men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to us. Why are you long-suffering to us, God? Because he's not willing that any should perish. But they're all should come to repentance. You know why he's a long-suffering God? Because he's good. Because he's a good God. Thank God for his goodness this morning. He's hoping to lead us to repentance. As a matter of fact, verse 15 of chapter 3 of 2 Peter says, account that the long-suffering of God is salvation. He is hoping that by his being merciful and patient to us, that we'll eventually get it right. And as I say so many times, we only got one time, that is in this life, to get it right. After this life, all hope of getting it right will be over. He's a long-suffering God because he's a good God. In Romans chapter 2, listen to what Paul said to these Roman Jews that he was writing to, who thought they were so much better than the Gentiles. And they were looking at the Gentiles, at things that they were doing, and they were judging or condemning them, but they were doing the same thing themselves. And Paul had them to know this. Verse number 1, he says, therefore thou art an inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the what? Same things. We have to be careful, brothers and sisters. We need to look at ourselves. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Verse 3, he says, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of the what? Goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the what? The goodness. We're talking about the goodness of God. Not knowing, he says, that the goodness of God does what? Leadeth thee to repentance. Now, the goodness of God is not going to make us repent, but the goodness of God will lead us to repentance, give us a chance to repent. Let's take the chance that God gives us through his long suffering. And he does that because he's a good God. Thank God he is a good God. Not only is God a long-suffering God, and does he have that kindness and mercy on the chef, but God has something else on that chef. Look at the psalmist again in Psalm 31 and verse number 22. He says, "For I said in my haste," and sometimes this get us in our haste, "I am cut off from before thine eyes." Basically what the psalmist is saying, that I was hasty in saying, "God, you don't care about me. God, you're not going to listen to me. God, you're not going to come to my rescue, come to my aid." He says, "For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes." But then he says, "Nevertheless, thou did what? Heardest the voice of my supplication when I cried unto thee." Isn't that a wonderful thing? That God will hear us when we cry unto him. So on that shelf then, he has answered prayers on that shelf. God will answer his children's prayer when they cry unto him. Again, it may not be the answer that we wanted, but he still answers. So the faith that we have in him got to drive us, got to move us, lead us, if you will, to accept his answer. And sometimes that's why we have the problem. Our faith gets a little weak. Because, "God, you didn't bless me the way I wanted you to bless me." But God can see farther than we can see. Perhaps the reason he didn't bless us the way we wanted him to bless us is because if that blessing had come that we wanted, it wouldn't have been the best thing for us at the time. So we have to let God have his way. So the psalmist says, "In my haste, this is what I said. I'm cut off. You're not listening to me, God. I'm praying, I'm weeping, I'm praying, tears streaming down my eyes, calling on you night and day, and you're not even listening to me." But then he says, "Nevertheless, you heard me. You answered my prayer." God will answer our prayer when we're faithful to him, when we're doing his will, when we fear him. He will answer our prayer. Matthew 7:7, he says, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." 1 John 5:14-15, he says, "If we ask anything according to his will, then we can have that confidence." Notice what he said. "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." That's why when we pray, we got to pray according to his will. Isn't that what our example said? Isn't that the way he prayed? Don't y'all remember Christ when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane? When he says, "Father, if thou wilt, let this cup pass from me." But then he said, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done." "Lord, I need a job. Help me to find a job." But we got to pray, if it's your will, to find this job. We may not find a job tomorrow. The reason why we don't find it tomorrow, maybe that's not the right job for us. But if we can just wait on the Lord, like the psalmist says, next week, next month, the job will probably be there that the Lord wants us to have. He's not going to forsake us. We just got to have faith enough to wait on it. Didn't David say, "I was young"? Psalm 37:25. "Now I'm old." He said, "I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread." God is going to take care of us. But he takes care of us in his time, not in our time. In his time. We've just got to have the courage and the patience to wait on God, because he is a good God. So the psalmist says again, "I spoke too fast. In my haste," again, "I said I was cut off. But you heard me. You heard me." Yes, He provides for us, and he hears our prayers. And we receive what we have, what we need, when we ask according to his will, when we are doing his will. 1 John 3 and verse 22, he says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." But then there's something else, one other thing I want to share with and leave with you this morning that's on that table over there, on that shelf over there. Look at the psalmist again, Psalms 31 and verse 23. He says, "Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer." Because God is a good God, he has a reward for the faithful. And that's what he just said there. He says again, "The Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer." And this is what the Lord wants for us. He wants to reward us. But in order to reward us like he wants to reward us, we got to do what he tells us to do. We know the scripture says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have an everlasting life." God wants us to have an everlasting life. Why? Because he's good. But we've got to do what he tells us to do. We've got to obey him. He wants that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 9, the Bible says, "For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to what? Obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." God wants to reward us because he's a good God. You see, sometimes we ain't so good. We don't want to give folks things. We don't want good things to happen to certain folks because we're not so good. We need to get out of that mindset. God wants good things to happen to us. He wants us to have eternal life. He wants us to have that reward. And that's the reward that Paul was looking forward to, because Paul was a doer. Paul was a keeper of God's will. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 6, beginning, he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have done what? Finished my course. I have what? Kept the faith. Henceforth there is now laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me, and not only to me only, but to all them that love his appearance." Paul was looking forward to that reward. God wanted to give Paul that reward. God wanted to give you. He wants to give me. He wants to give the whole world that reward of eternal life, because he is a good God. God is good. As I conclude then this morning, I want to encourage us to allow his goodness to motivate us to do his will. So in the midst of challenges, in the midst of storms, in the midst of this difficulties and disillusionments and all other things that go on in our lives, be of good courage. Verse 24 of Psalms 39 says basically the same thing that verse 14 of Psalms 27 says. It says, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. All ye that hope in the Lord." Do we hope in the Lord? Realize then that he is a good God. In spite of what happened to us in this life, he's still a good God. And so again, as the saying goes, many a times, God is good all the time. All the time. God is good. The psalmist was able to see the goodness of the Lord. So he said again, I had fainted, except I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Do we all see God's goodness? Do we have confidence and faith to know that God is going to work it out? Whatever comes in our lives, if it's something that's negative, if it's something that goes against us, God's going to work it out because he's a good God. But he's going to do it in his time. Let's wait on God, and he'll strengthen us. Isaiah said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run, the book says, and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. All of that because God is a good God. Thank God for being a good God. And the mere fact that we are here today is because of the goodness of God. So if you're here this morning then, and you have not obeyed God, have not become a member of the church that Jesus died for and purchased with his own blood because God is a good God. That's why we have the church, because God is a good God. Because he knew in his infinite wisdom that he needed the body of Christ to bring folks home to him. Don't despise God's goodness. Many folks today despise the goodness of God. Let me bring it a little bit closer. Many folks despise the Church of Christ. Can I say it again? Many folks despise the Church of Christ. Because I can tell you how they despise it. This building would be running over if they didn't. They are wrapped up in man's way. And when you talk to them about the truth, they say, y'all old Church of Christ. Well, we're members of the church. Don't despise God's goodness. Be thankful for the church, because that's the gateway to heaven. That's God's wisdom. That's God's plan. Don't despise God's plan. Become a member of the church that you can read about in the New Testament. This is the fourth Sunday, Evangelism Emphasis Day. Don't despise the Church of Christ. That's the only church that's going to heaven. That's the only church that the Lord has. It started in A.D. 33. All others started after then, too late. Be a member of the one that the Lord started. In Jerusalem, A.D. 33, started by the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the founder, he's the builder of the church. And he's the Savior of the body. If you want to be saved, got to be a member of the body. Why not come to the Lord this morning? Again, because he's a good God. Accept his plan of salvation. Hear and believe the gospel, Acts 15:7. Repent of your past sins, Luke 13:3. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ, Matthew 10 and verse 32. Be baptized in water for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. When you do that, the Lord will add you to his church. Live faithful then unto death, and he'll give you a crown of life. Revelation 2 and verse 10. All of that's because of the goodness of God. Would you come then this morning? If you're already a member, but somehow you're walking contrary to the will of God, you know the reason why you're able to sit here this morning if you're walking contrary to the will of God? Because of God's goodness. He wants you to repent. So let his goodness lead you to repentance. Turn away from whatever it is that's wrong in your life. And if you need to confess, do that this morning. If you need prayer, let us pray for you this morning. Whatever your need is, would you respond to the goodness of God right now while we stand and sing? I